I want to talk to you today about being hungry for God. I forgot something over here. I'm not coming after you. Being hungry for God. I think, this is coming out of what God's doing in my own heart and my own life about being hungry for God. I think we get comfortable. And when you get to know God, you get to know his thing, know his word, know, you just get comfortable. Comfortable. And my prayer lately has been, Lord, what is it to be hungry for you? Teach me what it is to be hungry for you. And out of that prayer comes some of these thoughts that I want to share with you a little bit. Because I think if God is going to do something with his church, which I believe he desires to do with his church, it's going to be because we have changed our approach to God. Not the channel by which we get there, but the attitude by which we come. Now, I don't know about you, but my hunger can sometimes get cloaked in selfishness. I do that in my own natural life. Linda, I'm hungry, and it takes her an hour to prepare the food, and I get a little upset about that. And, baby, did you understand I was hungry? And we could have microwaved something, and feel that really quick. Am I the only one that does that? Oh, okay. Sometimes we can cloak our hungerness in our own selfishness. We do that with everything, really. I love you as long as you give me what I want. And my love is real deep and real special until you don't give me what I want. We can do that with just about everything because we are flesh. And part of seeking God is crucifying the flesh, Paul said. Paul put it this way, I die daily to know him. And it's important for us to understand that. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus says these words. Say it with me. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. One translation says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, in the next few moments, speak to our hearts and our lives. We just ask you, Lord, to open up our heart. Do what needs to be done in us so that we could be your light in a world that needs it. We need you, Lord. Sometimes we don't display that the right way. Sometimes we don't hunger like we ought to hunger. Help us, Lord, to hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. What is it to be hungry? To be hungry. It's a state of emptiness. I had a friend these little sayings that he says, and I kind of rubbed off on me every now and then. I'll get so hungry, my stomach's gnawing on my backbone. And that's hungry. So you got this state of emptiness, and we can be empty in a lot of ways. You can be emotionally empty. You can be physically empty. You can be just empty in a lot of ways. And here's the thing that you must recognize: we as human beings are spiritually empty until God steps in, until God satisfies this in hunger of our heart. And if we don't let God do it, we tend to substitute other things to satisfy a hunger that only he can satisfy. And that really becomes the problem. It's interesting that when you look at hunger from a natural standpoint, there are several reasons for hunger. And one of them is a lack of preparedness. A lack of preparedness. In other words, you didn't plant the seed so you could harvest something to eat. And the same is true with spiritual growth. We have not because we ask not. And the other thing is this, you reap what you sow. And sometimes you got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. What are you doing? You're preparing your heart to be spiritually fed so that it'll come. It'll happen in his time. And sometimes hunger comes from the lack of preparedness is the lack of labor. You know, I plant the seed, but I don't want to go pull the weeds. I plant the seed, but I don't want to go pick the fruit, you know, because it's hot outside. So the same is true. Spiritual hunger is satisfied through a little pursuit of God. And pursuit takes a little determination, a thought, and preparedness, and disciplines to pray and to give and to serve and to. There's a lot, those things you just got to do if you're going to be satisfied spiritually. Hunger. And obviously, the other part of the lack of preparedness is there's no water. There's nothing to give water to so that it can grow. And sometimes we fail to create the climate where the Holy Spirit can come and do what he needs to do in our heart and our life for him to feed us. How many know it's the Holy Spirit who feeds us? Through the power of his word, through the fellowship of the saints and the church. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. Without his presence, without him watering down upon us, how many know that old song, showers of blessing? And we need those showers of blessing, don't we? Amen. I thank God for all those showers of blessings. Here's some other things to consider. Are you aware of your emptiness of God? The emptiness of God's work and God's presence in your life. If you're satisfied, you most likely won't be hungry. Now, this morning I had breakfast with Michael and the families that were, Michael and Bethany, that were going, we sent into Croatia to lead that missionary kid retreat. And when I came in, they had Krispy Kreme donuts on the table. I was not hungry for the Krispy Kreme donut, of which I was very thankful. Oh, don't get me wrong, I could have ate one. But listen, why? Because I'd already satisfied myself. I'd already satisfied myself. And when you're satisfied, you're not going to be hungry for God. I think it happens, too, when I'm distracted. You know, when I'm stressed, when I got this going on, that going on. I got a lot of irons in the fire, and I got a lot of plates spinning, and I can be pretty busy because I'm an important person. We can get distracted from being hungry. I have a friend when Benjamin was little, and he had a friend, and Benjamin and this little boy would play, and they wouldn't even come in to eat. They just play. And my friend said, kids will play themselves to death. They won't even take time to eat. Why? They're so enjoying things. But you know what happens when they play beyond the limit of, they get cranky. And you do too. You do too. So we have to be very careful about that. We not be distracted. We can get distracted. What distracts us from God? Our preoccupation with self, the desires of the flesh, greed, preoccupation with the things of the world. There are degrees of hunger. Degrees of hunger. And the higher degree of hunger you have, the greater your want. Think of that. I mean, that'll tell you about your want of God. Your degree of hunger for him. In Luke chapter 4, it says this. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That means he went without food. He probably drank water, but he went without food 40 days and 40 nights. In verse 2, it says, there were 40 days he was after that he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I think that's the most understated statement of the New Testament. Because I think after 40 days of no food, you're going to be hungry. Are you with me? And the enemy, I mean, why? And the Spirit of God, it says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. I mean, you know, sometimes God leads us to places that are uncomfortable. Why? To turn up some spiritual hunger, to be hungry about the right things, to separate you from things that will distract you, to get your focus back on. Not that Jesus was distracted, but listen to me. In the higher degree of hunger, the enemy came to tempt Jesus. And he always, in that hunger, he wants you to substitute what you really need for falsity. So Jesus, the enemy says to Jesus, oh, see that stone? Why don't you turn it? Why don't you use your power? Turn it into bread so you satisfy this hunger. And Jesus makes this profound statement that's recorded in Deuteronomy. The man does not live by bread alone. Why? Because the only way that you and I can satisfy this spiritual hunger that's in our heart and our soul, because we've been created by the image of God, and there's this huge vacuum inside of us that says, God, I want to know you. God, I want to walk with you. God, can you reveal yourself to me? And thank God he has made a way for us to do that through his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. So the enemy wanted Jesus to substitute what he really needed for something else. And then the question becomes, what have we substituted? I think we substitute hunger for busy spirituality. You know, I can remember pastors bragging, listen, we got church 7 nights a week, man. We're there Monday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night prayer meeting, Wednesday night church, Thursday night Bible study, a Friday night choir event and practice, and then Sunday morning worship. We equated busy church life with good spirituality. And we let the world go to hell. I did that for shock value. How can you be a light in the world when we are clustered together? How can you live in such a way that makes people want to be a Christian when you're not out there being a light? Just because you're busy in your spiritual quest doesn't mean you're spiritual. It could mean that you're just distracted. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to be in church, because the Bible says you ought to be in church. But be in church for the right reason. Busy spirituality may be a sign of shallow spirituality. And it can be the other way around. You know, you can be so busy with the world and think, I'm spiritual because I go to church twice a week. And you just may be hungry because you're pursuing the wrong thing. And sometimes we cherish relics of the past, and that substitutes our spiritual hunger. And we think that somehow if I can just get back to where God touched me in the past, if I can get back to what he did yesterday. Which brings me to this baby food. Some of the best days of my life were right here. And sometimes spiritually, that's what we do. When God wants to move us beyond where we've been
and bring us to where he needs us to be for the sake of others around us. We are clinging to a relic of what he did yesterday because that's where we grew the most. Tell me, listen to me. I grew the most when I was eating that. My brain grew faster when I was eating that. And we want to go back to that when in reality, that was to prepare us for something God has for us tomorrow. And we got to learn, God, take me where I need to be in you. I don't want to say that what God did yesterday was invalid. Just understand the context of what he did in our lives. He did that to take us somewhere in him, to develop us, to make us more mature in him, to experience more of him. And if we're not careful, we'll miss the precepts. What does the Bible say? Precept upon precept, we grow. Paul puts it this way, from glory to glory. He grows us up. And if you're not careful, you'll get stuck in that one plane of glory, that one precept, and you'll stagnate your spiritual life and you cease to move to the next level. You forgot that what he was laying was a foundation for the future development to make you into something that brings about the light of his word in the world. So we need help, and God can help us. Here's the other thing we do. Where's Ben? I need Ben. I am desperate for Ben. Get up here, Ben. I'm going to tell you, some of the best days of my life was feeding Ben. What are you reading the label for, boy? You can't read yet. I'm going to tell you, it was great joy. How many ever did that? You ever did that? You got that right. Some of the great, and this. I was going to do it. You owe Jamin. Because see, this is what we want. You know, this is what I grew up on, and this is what you need, and therefore, this is where I got the most joy and enjoyment out of my life is feeding you, and we think somehow this what I did yesterday is still going to help him. Because after all, when I was feeding him, he grew the most when I was doing what I did back then, and now I want to repeat what I did in the past so that somehow I can force him into doing something that he needs to do today. He's grown way beyond what used to take place yesterday. You see, and if I'm not growing, I want to do this for him because this worked yesterday. He's way beyond. But if I'm not growing spiritually, all I want to do is keep giving people what I gave them in the past. And they're beyond this. And maybe why so many young people are dropping out of the church is we've tried to baby feed them in such a way they're beyond us, and you and I need to tap into a new hunger, a new source of Him, so that we can have the answers that are adequate to the stress and the pressures of our world. Because right now they're not seeing much need to come to church, but I'm telling you, in Him there is an amazing need. And if you and I will begin to hunger and thirst after God, we might have an answer that they need for this generation. Yeah. Help us, Lord. In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And Ben was telling me the other day, he watched a documentary about trying to find the real Bethlehem, because there's a lot of Bethlehems. Can I tell you, there's a lot of Bethlehems offering you bread. But there's only one bread of life. And His name is Jesus. It's the first of the I am statements of Jesus. There were seven of them in the Gospel of John. I am the bread, I am the light, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth. I am the true vine. The bottom line is this: Jesus is the sustainer of the kingdom of God. Jesus is the sustainer of our life spiritually. And if you'll hunger and thirst after Him on a daily basis, you'll be filled. If we're not careful, like I said earlier, we'll lay a precept, a foundation, and we'll stop. Lay another, and we'll stop. Spiritual growth is important when it comes to the things and purposes of God. The scripture says this: His mercy is new every morning. New every morning. Can I tell you, when His mercy is new every morning, precepts are being met and being brought into your life. You're seeing things every day renewed, 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 renewed. I don't know about you, but I don't know how to maintain that hunger for God in this world that's so full of distractions, that wants to substitute things for God. So my prayer has been, Lord, teach me what it means to be hungry for You. To be hungry for You. When Jesus said, "I am the bread," it was right after Passover. Can I tell you something? Manna came down in the wilderness. Manna came down. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Listen to this. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's the statement that Jesus used for the enemy in the midst of the temptation when He was hungry. Man does not live by the word. Notice what He said. He humbled you. He humbled you. If you're going to be hungry, it's because you first humbled yourself. He humbled them, and that caused them to be hungry. And then He fed them manna, which the scripture says had never been done before. That'd be hard for us to swallow. God's never done it that way before. I don't know if I can do that. when you're desperate, when you're humble. You'll seek him. You'll say, God, do whatever you need to do in me. Whatever you do, Lord. Don't leave me the same way I walked into this build. Amen. Somehow, humble me, Lord. You see, the previous generations had not known. Now they get to partake of that. And guess what they had to do every day? Go gather the manna. They had to get up off their couch and go gather the manna. God didn't jar it up for them. God didn't put it on their dining room table cooked and ready. They had to get out and jar it up. Go gather it. Can I tell you, you will never, never, never go after God if it's not a daily event. So Ekamar came to me with a scripture this morning and said, I think the Lord wants you to hear it. So pull it up on your phone there.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
He humbled them. They got hungry. And manna came. You know, it's easy to complain about everything that's going on in our land and complain about all the sin and all that, but God didn't say that complaining will fix it. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Why don't you stand with me? So which brings me to this conclusion, maybe my prayer is all wrong. God, make me hungry. Teach me what it is to be hungry. Maybe my prayer ought to be, Lord, humble me. Teach me what it is to be humble enough to hunger after you, Lord. Teach me, Lord God, not to be satisfied on yesterday's leftovers, but to bring into my life fresh bread, Lord, fresh bread, fresh things of heaven. Let your mercies be new every morning in my life, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for not walking humbly and seeking after you, for not being hungry. Forgive me, Lord. Here's the bottom line, Lord. I need you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Would you just make a new commitment to need him right now? Would you just make a new commitment? God, I need to need you more, Lord. There are places in my life that I'm too satisfied, Lord. I need to need you more, Lord. There's something in my... God, would you begin to stir up in me something that needs to be stirred up? So I might, maybe you need to lay new precepts in my life. I need to rediscover your mercy today, Lord. Make me hungry, Lord.